Good afternoon, listeners and viewers. This is Ron Stefanski, host of Disrupt Ed. Welcome to another episode where we talk to the disruptors, those people who are changing the conversation in this wildly, ginormously disrupted world. What do I mean by that? We are living in epic times, a 5G wired workforce augmented technology interconnected, globally interconnected, AI immersive, pandemic interrupted world of work and learning out there, and everything is on the table for change. And today I have a guest that I've been waiting months to see on this show, and I'm so glad to have him. Kermit Cook joins us today, the CEO of Penn Foster. Full transparency, I worked for Penn Foster and was a fan of it for many years. And the thing that Penn Foster really struck it, you know, gold with is when I was there, Frank Britt was the CEO and a masterful leader, just an extraordinary human as well as an extraordinary leader. And they did it again. And they may have topped that one with Kermit, who was a colleague of mine at Cengage and now is at Penn Foster. So, Kermit, it is so great to have you on the show finally. Thanks for joining us today.
I really appreciate the invitation, Ron, and I know as every time we talk, I'm sure this conversation is going to go many different directions. I can't wait to see where it takes us.
Yeah. So, well, let's start from the beginning. Your origin story is so fascinating because you are an educator in your core DNA. You started out as a physics teacher, and you started out thinking you were going to be a teacher as part of your career before you transitioned into the business world of education, and ultimately climb the ladder fairly rapidly to the CEO spot. So tell us a little bit about that journey and where you started from and what motivated you to get into the online side of education.
Yeah, I really appreciate you starting there, Ron, because that is the right starting point. I am a teacher and a coach at heart. It is what I love, and it's what has continued to bring me back to the world of education. Actually, both my parents are educators. My father was a college professor for many, many years. I grew up in a small town in West Virginia where he taught at a school called Bethany College. My mom was a high school French teacher until later in her career, where she actually retired from teaching high school, went back to seminary, and became a minister. As an example of lifelong learning, and
right,
you know, as she would say, and all the teachers out there would appreciate this, she still gets to teach now, but she doesn't have to grade papers anymore. So that really is the that's the ideal world.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at ministry. That's great.
Yeah, but so that brought me, you know, ultimately to teaching, as you mentioned, in St. Louis with Teach for America, which I'm sure many of the listeners would be familiar with, and taught at a school there. And actually, my experience, Ron, in St. Louis at Gateway Tech in St. Louis really connects directly to why I was so excited about the opportunity to join Penn Foster a year and a half ago. And specifically, that school had a very effective career education program. So we had pathways in healthcare. We had a great partnership with Lambert Airport in St. Louis, where we actually had old airplane engines in the basement of the school and retired airline mechanics who would teach this class. And, you know, students who took that course could go straight into a paid apprenticeship at the airport to become an airline mechanic. And, you know, I think of, for example, a student I had, Keith. Keith was, he was on my tennis team. I was the basketball and tennis coach. And then, in addition to teaching, and he was just really a great kid at heart. He was a, you know, C plus physics student at best, but the energy that he got and the engagement that he had with that airline mechanics program, I'm still connected with Keith. And today he is a senior engineer at GE Aviation. And
wow,
he was able
to have that. What a great story.
I mean, and it's amazing because he is somebody, and I know his family, he would not, I'll just say the traditional 2 and 4 year route would have been prohibitively expensive and long in terms of time for him and his family. But he opened up this career path that has been life-changing for them because of that affordable pathway to a great job. And that at its core is what Penn Foster is all about. That's why I was so excited about the opportunity to join the organization.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, it goes without saying, I mean, Penn Foster has kind of defined online learning from the earliest stages. I mean, it's really the earliest of the breed of organizations that are teaching by distance. Penn Foster started in the 1890s, helping people to transition out of the coal mines, right? Isn't that the story?
Yes.
And they were doing correspondence courses to get people into the new age, you know, electrical industry and energy industry.
Well, you know, I do think, Ron, we can lay claim to being the oldest virtual school in the country, if not one of the oldest in the world, because that's right. Founded in Scranton, Pennsylvania by Thomas Foster, thus the name Penn Foster. And I would actually go a step further. You know, the learners who we were serving then were primarily immigrants who were in the coal mines. And Thomas Foster's mission is he really saw an opportunity to help train people and give them skills so they could be safer and get more safe jobs. And that core of that mission, the opportunity to help people who don't necessarily see an easy path to something better for their lives back in 1890, it is the exact same core of what drives us today.
That's amazing. You know, my grandfather was from Carnegie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
He started out as a coal miner, and he went on to join the newfangled world of automotives and left Pennsylvania to come to Detroit. That's how I became a Detroiter, is my grandfather and my grandmother, both of whom were immigrants and both of whom worked in the automotive industry. So you're right. I mean, I think there is a niche out there for us to consider how do we help uplift and upskill people who for whom life has happened, who didn't go down a traditional path and for whom a traditional path may not even make sense. You know, when you and I went to college, it was all about, you know, you get a college degree, you get out, you get a job, and you go from there. But for a lot of people, that doesn't necessarily work. It's not a one size fits all. You know, so when you look at the world of lifelong learning, you know, and I have to say, in terms of your engagement, Kermit, your chief learning officer, whom we had on the show, Andy Sheen, and he really articulated an extraordinary journey that you guys are on. And maybe you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, Ron. And frankly, even how we are talking about it as a traditional versus a non-traditional path, I think we need to change that language. And maybe we can lead that front with this rep to head. Every path is out there. I think where we really want to be a game changer and a leader is helping learners go from high school to careers that don't require a bachelor degree. And in particular, careers that can provide a sustainable living wage, that give people a pathway early on to 40 to 50K a year in healthcare benefits for themselves and their families. As an organization, we graduated close to 80,000 learners from our programs in 2024. We are in a mission to take that to 150,000 learners a year, graduating and opening doors to better jobs by 2029. And most importantly, Ron, we see that the primary way that we can do that is by improving the outcomes for our learners, by helping more learners in the most affordable and flexible path they can get through to their degrees and successfully complete programs as they enter. We want to be at a place that we have 60% plus of our learners graduating who enter our programs, and that would put us as kind of best in class if you look at any traditional institution. But we're doing that at an average cost that is a tenth of what learners would be able to find at their traditional institution. So for those who aren't familiar with Penn Foster, if you come to us, just to give a couple of examples, if you want to complete a medical assistant program, it's about $1,800 versus you'd be paying, you know, 15 grand or more if you go into a traditional brick and mortar school. And most importantly, most of our learners pay as they go. We don't want anybody to walk away with debt. We have a monthly payment approach, and if somebody drops out of the program, then they stop paying. because our goal is to be make sure that the cash outflow for those learners is really directly aligned with the impact for them in terms of progressing through to completing their programs and careers.
Yeah, I want to take this conversation. You know, it's easy for you and I when we get together to talk about Penn Foster because we both have strong roots there. But beyond that, you are kind of, you've been kind of looking at the e-learning space for the last decade from an educator's perspective, but also from an executive's perspective. And when you look at the future of e-learning, it seems to me job number one, and I found this to be the case at Penn Foster, I found this to be the case at online learning has not yet hit its stride in terms of providing the same level of engagement that people come to expect from an educational experience they might have in a classroom with a live instructor. So, you and Andy and your executive team are in the fits of reshaping that conversation. And that's where I want to go with you is you're talking about, you know, for years, you talked about competency education, but now you have a different alignment around that whole concept. And I'd like you to share a little bit more about that.
You raise such an important point, Ron. For all of the work and all the conversation we've had around the impact of ed tech over the last many years, we definitely still have not cracked the code on effective, engaging, asynchronous education and helping people to get through successfully, very consistently. I'll put you on the spot. How many online self-paced courses have you taken and completed? I know my hit rate is pretty low.
Yeah, mine's probably a dozen, but you know, they were all to a class. They were all a check the box experience. I think the first time where I've gotten excited about taking an online course is talking with Brandon Bastide about some of the things they're doing with brands to create unique learning experiences. Yeah. And so the one that I really covet taking is the one they've developed with Sotheby's. As an art history minor in college, I would love to take that because a lot of it's online, but then some of it is with Sotheby's executives in New York City learning about curation and roles in the art history, you know, for those who have an art history background. And it just seems to me that that's where this may all ultimately be going. It's where we kind of connect the dots and we kind of figure out how do we create places of engagement. You know, Joel Padone is the CEO now of Honor Education. He was recruited years ago by Steven Jobs to create Apple University. And in talking with him, one of the things he's a passionate educator, much like you. He was a college professor before he got into the world of online learning. And he said, you know, what I want to capture is that little spark that comes when two learners engage in a learning experience together. And it's the conversations they have. Maybe not with the instructor, maybe not with the material, but it's the learning that takes place between the two of them. And so I think there are a lot of places where learning is sort of sparking, and maybe you can speak to some of your imaginative moments with that.
Well, yeah, and let me pick up on that thread because that with two people, it's very easy for us to wrap our minds around that and envision that what we are trying to do is replicate that at scale with 300,000 active learners on our platform at any given time. And that is where, and let me just add to that, the majority of our learners are working adults who may have one or two jobs, have families who they're taking care of, they're getting online at 9 or 10 o'clock at night when they can. How do we show up in the right moment for them? And what one of the things that made me most excited as I came on board, Ron, is at the moment where we are today from a technical perspective and actually what we've invested in over the last several years at Penn Foster around building the right technology and data platform, our ability to intervene at the right moments, know when you, Ron, need that nudge or support or see that we need to connect you with a live human to be able to create that spark and persistence for you. But also our ability to really remake courses that are much more engaging, authentic. We have a framework that we call LATS that is learner-centered, authentic to the experience that they're trying to learn, active, differentiated for what experience that individual learner needs, and then skills based on the skills that they need to develop. If they want to be a vet tech or a medical assistant or an HVAC technician or an electrician, that it's really based and anchored around those skills. So that LADS framework really guides all the ways that we are redesigning courses to help people get through that journey. The thing to remember is that learning is not easy, right? If we're doing it right, if this is not a check the box course, and for our learners, they're trying to develop skills and credentials that get them a new job. So they need to learn something new. That's not an easy thing to do. And so it's not surprising that people left to do it on their own struggle to get through to success. And that what we can do to really proactively find those moments and know those moments where somebody who's trying to become an HVAC technician is going to run into a roadblock and be ready to intervene and catch them and help them through that next step in their journey. That's what has me really energized and is what is seeing us really meaningfully move the needle on outcomes.
I think that's right. I think that's the admirable North Star for you, is to look at, you know, how someone does play a role at some point in some small way or some more, you know, extensive way as a guide on the side or as someone who's helping them. You know, I think back to our days together at Cengage, and I was over on the Gale side working with public libraries, and you have all these Carnegie libraries out there. And Andrew Carnegie's vision was to create a place where people could walk in free of charge and get the equivalent of a full-born education from the materials that were there. And yet, how many people actually go to a library? You occasionally hear of the person who went to a library and spent years there and got more than the equivalent of a college education. But that's rare, because people need, you know, you said it, it's hard. And when things are hard, people lean on others. And I think that's the nature of a learning exchange, right? Is that you're going to seek help from someone if you really want to develop the skills and you really want to absorb the learning that's being offered.
So let me tie this to something that, you know, especially today, I've heard a lot of folks, largely from outside the education community, investors who are thinking about investing in education businesses, for example, who say, well, AI is just going to disrupt learning and good learning is going to be commoditized because of what you can create very inexpensively now today. I can just go on to ChatGPT and create that course for myself. And I actually believe the exact opposite. Bad learning is going to be commoditized. Bad learning that doesn't have the right science and pedagogy sitting behind it. Great learning is going to be at a premium because of exactly what you said. You need to be able to combine the not just what the content is that you need to know, but all of the data that you can put together and all of the understanding that a master teacher who's taught for 30 years or an institution like ourselves that is tracking the interaction points and where people get stuck for 300,000 learners every single day, so that we continue to improve the science for what we can bring to the table to help those people successfully master the skills they need.
You know, you've actually done it, Kermit, here. You've broken this conversation into another series of interesting explorations. So we're going to take a quick break. To our listening and viewing audience, this is Ron Stefanski at Disrupt Ed. I've been talking with Kermit Cook, the EdTech Titan who currently runs Penn Foster, and now he unleashed the beast, talking about the role of AI in education. So you're going to have to come back for episode 2, because that's where we're going to pick it up. Stay tuned. Come back for episode 2. And in the meantime, don't forget to get disrupted. Give us your feedback. Give us your comments. And stay tuned for more with Kermit. Thank you.